バスデバイヤオムナモバガバテバスデバイヤナラヤナムナマスクリティアムナラムチェイバナロタマムデヴィンサラスファティムヤサムタトジャヤムディラヤナシタプラヤシュバーデレシュバブニティアムバガバテセバヤBhagavatir Uttamashlokir Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 41, entitled Krishna and Balaram Enter Mathura, Text Number 2.Sopi chantaritam viksha Jaladun majya sattvaraha Kritva chavashyakam sarvam Vishmito ratam agama Sopi chantaritam viksha Jalanun majya sattvaraha Kritva cha vashyakam sarvam Vismito ratam agamat Indeed cha and antarhitam disappeared Vikshya seeing Jalat from the water Unmajya emerging Satvaraha quickly Kritva performing Cha and Avashyakam his prescribed duties Sarvam all Vishmita surprise Ratam to the chariot Agamat went Translation by the disciple of Srila Prabhupada When Akrura saw the vision disappear he came out of the water and quickly finished his various ritual duties He then returned to the chariot astonished Please repeat after me When Akrura saw the vision disappear He came out of the water and quickly finished his various ritual duties. He then returned to the chariot astonished. That's not purpose, so I'll just continue till text number 5.Tam apricha drishi kesha kinte drishtam ivadbhutam bhumau viyatito eva tata tvam lakshaya mahe Lord Krishna asked Akrura, Have you seen something wonderful on the earth, in the sky or in the water? From your appearance, we think you have.Shri Akrura Uvacha Adbhutani Hayavanti Bhumau Yivati Viyati Vajale Tvai Vishvatmaketani Kime Drishtam Vipashyataha Shri Akrura said Whatever wonderful thing the earth, sky or water contain all exist in youSince you encompass everything, when I am seeing you, what have I not seen? Yatrad bhutani sarvani bhumau viyati vajale tam tvanupashyato brahman kim me drishtam ihadbhutam. And now that I am seeing you, O Supreme Absolute Truth,in whom reside all amazing things on the earth, in the sky and in the water, what amazing things could I see in this world? Purport. Akura has now realized that Lord Krishna is not merely his nephew. I'll just read from a paragraph in Krishna book in regards to this very context we're discussing in the Bhagavatam. This is chapter 6 of Krishna book, Krishna enters Mathura. While Akura was offering his prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord disappeared from the water, exactly as an expert dramatic actor changes his dress and assumes his original feature. After the Vishnu Murti disappeared, Akura got out of the water. Finishing the rest of his ritualistic performances, he went near the chariot of Balaram and Krishna and was struck with wonder. Krishna asked whether he had seen something wonderful within the water or in space. Akura said, "My dear Lord, all wonderful things that are happening within this world, either in the sky or in the water or on the land, are factually appearing in your universal form. So when I have seen you, what wonderful things have I not seen?" This statement confirms the Vedic version that one who knows Krishna knows everything, and one who has seen Krishna has seen everything, regardless of how wonderful a thing may be. "My dear Lord," Akura continued, "there cannot be anything more wonderful than your transcendental form. When I have seen your transcendental form, what is there left to see?" Beautiful paragraph written by Srila Prabhupada. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stavitam yena bhutale svayam rupa gadamayam tadati svapradantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamritam Sha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vestaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Devan Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Vastachadishatarine Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When Akura saw the vision disappear, he came out of the water and quickly finished his various ritual duties. He then returned to the chariot astonished. Hare Krishna. Seek the blessings of all the great souls present here, that I can talk about Krishna and about his pastimes and about his devotees, glories of his devotees. we see the way we perceive or the vision we have has a great impact on the consciousness. According to the consciousness, that's how we see our surroundings. Just, you can easily understand this. When you have a green glass, green colored glass, glass which is colored with green, all around you, you will see is green. Similarly, if you have red colored glasses, all around you, you'll see red. If you see in a clear glass, you see the world clearly. So, we see the consciousness has a very great impact how we see things around us. If we have a consciousness that of a dog, we will see our surroundings just as how a dog sees. If we have a consciousness that of a cat, we will see our surroundings just as how a cat sees. And how does the consciousness have? How do you create the consciousness into visualize certain ways? Your consciousness is created according to your desire or what you like. For example, we see in this Western world and even is very rampant in India, where family members, friends, and everyone else, they have a pet dog, or a pet cat, or some sort of pet. We can see they have so much liking for such a pet, or like a dog and so forth, they develop the consciousness of a dog. At the time of death, they may not have friends around him, they may not have family members around him, but they may have a dog around him, and the dog becomes their best well-wisher. And the person thinks of the dog and he attains the consciousness of a dog and acts like a dog. Next slide. Obviously, I've seen when I go on the street, I look at the people. First, I look at the dog and I look at the person. And again, I look at the dog. They're very much related to each other. The face is very much related. Because that is, their attachment is based on the dog. Obviously, you get that kind of impact. So, the consciousness also has an impact based on the activities we perform throughout our life. If we are accustomed to eating so much, we get a special body which is created by Krishna himself, where we can facilitate the body to eat as much as he desires, pretty much. Like, if you eat too much, you get a body of an elephant. The elephant eats so much, it eats tons of food. Although the elephant doesn't have to go to job, still it can feed his tummy. So if we like sleeping a lot, then we get a body that is suitable where we can sleep. Even in the worst condition of the weather, still that living entity can sleep. That is a polar bear. So the polar bear can sleep for 6 months and so forth without any disturbance, even if the snow falls on his body. Similarly, if we are accustomed to having illicit relationship, then we get a suitable body that is fit to fulfill such propensity, that of a pigeon. So, the way we perceive has a great impact. The way we behave has a great impact how we see. And what we like also has a great impact what we see. If a person is greedy, all around him he will see his money. That's obvious. Even if he's poverty stricken, he can still see money in every nook and corner. Like, there's a nice story in this regard where a penniless person, his intensity to gain money was so great that although he was penniless, he was able to make millions of dollars. Once he was walking on the road, he saw a dead rat. And when he saw the dead rat, he was thinking, oh, I'll try and make some money out of this rat. So he picked up that dead rat, and on the way he saw a person with a cat. The cat was meowing for the rat, was calling out, I want the rat, I want the rat. And the caretaker of the cat gave some money to the penniless person, and the penniless person gave that rat to the cat. And in this way, he got that money, and he built up his business day by day till he became a millionaire. Akendra Prabhu was, we have Akendra Prabhu, who is also doing some sort of similar business with his internet and with his, first he sold off his shoes, and then in exchange he got something from his shoes, and then he got a guitar, and then he's getting a much more valuable thing as he's going by. So if a person sees the world with the mission to get money, that is, if his vision is that of his very greedy, obviously you see money everywhere. You can put him in the worst condition of place, he still can make money. That is possible for a person who is intensely desiring for money. Similarly, if a person is very lusty, all around him, he will see lust. Any woman he sees, he will see it as an opportunity to fulfill lust, or even vice versa. If a girl is lusty, then any man he sees, he will see as a means of fulfilling lust. Similarly, we see such great soul like Akrura. He had this vision. The vision of Akrura was not that of that we see in this material. The vision of Akrura is most outstanding. It's most spiritual, we can say. His vision is that he saw Krishna. And he's comparing. He's saying that, actually, whatever is there in this existence, all is within your control, pretty much. So as we know that when Krishna and Balaram, after they killed Kuvalaya Pita, and they took the tusk of Kuvalaya Pita, the elephant, and walked in the arena where the wrestling match was going to take place, as the beautiful young boys, Navayovana, who is ever youthful, Krishna and Balaram, walked in the arena, different people saw Krishna in different ways. Like, for example, in this world, we have an object, like, for example, a woman, a beautiful lady, a beautiful girl. This beautiful girl is seen according to the perception of different living entities. For example, when a lusty man sees a beautiful girl, he sees an opportunity where he can enjoy relationship with her, where he can fulfill his lusty desire. When a person who is very cultured sees that beautiful woman, he sees that the beautiful woman is actually a mother. When a highly realized spiritual devotee sees the same object, the beautiful woman, he sees that she is the servant of Krishna. But when a tiger sees that beautiful woman, then the tiger says, what a wonderful meal I will get. So similarly, when Krishna and Balaram walked in the arena where the wrestling was going to take place, they were seen according to the vision of different personalities. The beautiful young young maidens of Mathura, when they saw Krishna and Balaram, they saw Krishna and Balaram, Cupid personified. When the wrestlers saw Krishna and Balaram, Chandra, Mushtika, Shala and Dushala, when they saw Krishna and Balaram as lightning bolt, When the impious kings saw Krishna and Balaram, they saw Krishna and Balaram as chastiser. When the men of Mathura saw Krishna and Balaram, they saw Krishna and Balaram as the best of men of Mathura. When the Rishnis, the Yadus, they saw Krishna and Balaram, they saw them as their lovable object, the worshipable deity. Then Kamsa, the king of Boja, he saw Krishna and Balaram. He saw Krishna and Balaram as death personified. So according to the vision of each and every personality, one sees that very object in different angles. So obviously, where do the practitioners of Krishna consciousness fall in? Which category do they fall in? Obviously, we are not fully material, neither the practitioners of Krishna consciousness generally are not necessarily always going to be spiritual. So where do they fall in, generally speaking? Because we know we have a goal. This human form of life is a facility where we can prioritize our goals. That is explained by Prahlad Maharaj. Komaram acharet pragyam dharman bhagavatan iha durlabam manusham janma. Durlabam manusha janma tadapya dhruvamartada. Durlabam manusha janma. That human form of life is very rare. It's generally very rare. An intelligent person knows that this human form of life is very rare. So what does he try to do? He tries to make the best. He tries to prioritize his goals such a way that it will bring the best result for one's self-interest. Prahlad Maharaj goes on saying, what is that goal? That is Swartha Gatim Hi Vishnu. That goal is to actually see, the goal is Lord Vishnu. So an intelligent person understands that one's human form of life is to dedicate one's their goal in pleasing Lord Vishnu. And such an intelligent person is actually a devotee. And sometimes when we practice devotional service, we know that we have a goal, that is to please Lord Krishna, but at the same time, our attachment for material possessions are so strong that it actually pulls away from achieving our goals. Like for example, I'll tell you brief incident in regards to when I was very small. This was when I was in South India, in Chennai at that time, because my father used to do business in Chennai. He was in touch with Krishna consciousness when I was two and so. But I went to, my father sent me to the school, the Karmi school. In there, my mother used to pack my lunch prasadam where I could eat at the school. And during my break time, first day I was able to eat the prasadam. But the second day, I wasn't able to eat because I didn't like the obnoxious foodstuff the other children were eating. The smell of the onion and garlic. Not necessarily they were non-vegetarian. They were vegetarian during 85, 86. There were many of the students were vegetarian. They were at least somewhat cultured, you can say. Nowadays, India, surprising, when I went to Gurukul, after five years I see non-vegetarian restaurant here, non-vegetarian restaurant there. Before that I never noticed or realized there was a non-vegetarian restaurant when I was small. But anyway, I had that attachment for prasadam, and I would try avoid not eating any food outside. And later on in the Gurukul, and I joined the Gurukul when I was four, and they used to give prasadam, you know, breakfast. They used to give khichdi and fruits, and I would try avoid not taking the khichdi. I would take only the banana because I didn't like the salty stuff, salty prasadam. I was a sweet boy, in the sense I only liked sweets. And in the lunchtime, there used to be, pretty much every day we used to have like a feast, you can say. Rice, and then we used to have dal, 3-4 sabji, and then chapatis, chutney, sweet rice. You know, this is a feast, pretty much, every day we used to have, although Gurukul was in a very poor condition. But I would not eat the rice, neither would I eat the chapati, neither would I eat the sabji. I would just wait. I would wait for 1 hour just to eat that sweet rice. And at the end, I would get only one spoon of sweet rice, and I was very unhappy because I didn't have much. So they would give me another spoon sometimes, accordingly. But I never used to like eating any salty. And I used to like eating cakes and the sweets, generally speaking. I had one teacher, Radishampru, he's from Italy. So he knew my situation. Every week he would try to make an arrangement where I could get nice Radhamadava Mahaprasadam. Once he would bring custard cake, another day he would bring cheese and paneer cake, and another time he would bring double decker cream cake and so forth. But I was very, very fond of sweets. And so what happened was, I used to go to the Maha shop in Mayapur, waiting for the opportunity where the Maha shopkeeper melts his hearts and gives a laddu to me. I would wait for 1, 2 hours, 3 hours just to get one laddu. And then at one stage, I got really frustrated. I thought I should do something to get this Mahaprasadam. Hook or crook, I should get it. So I was only 5 years old. I remember the incident exactly what happened. So I used to wait in front of Lord Nrisimhadev, where Lord Nrisimhadev was there. I used to wait there, and I used to look around if anyone was seeing me. No one is seeing me, so I used to steal money from Nrisimhadev. 2 rupees. I used to steal 2 rupees from Nrisimhadev. And then I went to the Maha shop, and I said, I got 2 rupees, please give me laddu. And then they used to give me laddu like that. So the second time I tried. So as I went, I looked, no one was looking. This was during the Sunday aarti time. Everyone was so absorbed in seeing Radha Madhava, and the Gurukul boys were dancing so nicely, and everyone was looking at them, you know. So I was looking, no one was looking at me, so I took 1 rupee. 1 more rupees, then I will be successful to get another laddu. So I was waiting, and no one's looking. And I think maybe I should not go for that coin. I should go for the big note so I can get more laddus. So as I was pulling out and I got the note, immediately one devotee caught me. So I had a good desire to eat prasadam, but I had the bad habit of stealing money. And then he caught me and threatened me, if you're going to do this again, then we'll call the police. And I was so scared, and they bound me up. And my teacher came in, Ram Gopal Prabhu, he did the manual for deity worship, the Pancharatrika Pradeep. He did the major work on this Pancharatrika Pradeep supplement and both the books. Anyway, he came and he really gave me a hard time. I said, I'll never steal money from Nrisimhadev, not did he do this again. But anyway, I had a good desire. My desire was to eat the prasadam, but I had a bad habit. And later on, something more disastrous happened. As I was going by the bike, just speaking of week or two, I was going on a bike of a laborer, you know, who was taking care of the Gurukul, because it was a while walking from the temple to Gurukul, 5-10 minutes walk. So I would get on the back of the bike. So the laborer was riding the bike, But I was so small, I didn't know how to sit properly. So I had my right leg caught in the wheel of the bike. And that threw me off the bike, and I was really crying. And that right leg was bleeding intensely, very, very badly. And then they took me to the hospital, and they did an operation, in the sense they did some stitching on my leg without anesthesia. 7 stitches with a needle. We don't know if it is brand new needle or second hand needle. We don't know. But they did it. Generally, my teachers told me that if you offend the deities, then you get a reaction on your right leg. And I got a heavy reaction on the right leg. even if you're a child, you still get a heavy punishment. Like, for example, there's a real story where the son of the Goswami of Radha Raman, while he was in front of the deity, he got a stick. He poked in the ear of Radha Raman, the deity of Radha Raman, and it went through the ear of Radha Raman. As he pulled out the stick, he saw the blood dripping, and instantly he died. So you do get reaction
in the ear.
That's a true story. So likewise, I realized this incident took place because of Lord Nrisimhadeva's mercy upon me for stealing his money. That time I thought I would never mention this story to anyone, but today I'm mentioning it anyway. So, as practitioners in Krishna consciousness, we might have very, very good desires, but what can stop us is our bad habits or bad desire, our desires which we have tried to fulfill billions and trillions of lifetimes before. And that actually binds us within this material world. So where do we actually fall in? We are trying to aspire for Krishna consciousness. We are trying to aspire our consciousness to be Krishna, Krishnaized. But how do we bring about such a revolutionary act? We've been having our consciousness painted with different desires. Our consciousness was at one stage after building a big mansion. Another stage, our consciousness has been only to play games, only to play sports. So our consciousness has been painted in different ways. So now how do we actually bring about visualizing such a way that we can see Krishna everywhere? How do we do it? Especially when we are trying to practice Krishna consciousness. Akrura, he himself is demonstrating. Akrura, he is fully Krishna consciousness. He is fully pure devotee. Nevertheless, he shows us, as mentioned here, he does his religious activities. He does his ritualistic activities. Or, in other words, he does his sadhana program just to show us how we can be Krishna conscious. Although he doesn't have to do, because he's a pure devotee. There's no restriction for him to do a sadhana program. But he still does it just to demonstrate to persons practicing Krishna consciousness. Even when we become Krishna conscious, we should be fixed in our daily sadhana program. This is the demonstration of Akrura. The reason why we demonstrate our sadhana program day by day so is to clean our consciousness from our material dirtiness, you can say, or inauspiciousness which are within our consciousness from time immemorial. That is the reason we are performing sadhana program. That is the reason why Srila Prabhupada established, you know, sadhana program starting early morning, 3:30. 4:30, I'm sorry. It's not applicable for everyone. 4:30 program. You know, first thing is, especially if the devotees are temple devotees, one should be able to demonstrate this sadhana program. Or is there no point in residing in temple if one is not able to come into temple programs? What do you think Prabhupada established? Prabhupada established for our self-interest. That is the purpose of Prabhupada's establishment. First thing we come in the morning is we see the beautiful deity of our Lordship, Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. So what is wrong seeing Radha Vallabha, Gornita, Jagannath Balaraswara early morning? There's nothing wrong. In other words, it's such a blissful start. And this is what Prabhupada has given us. This is his special mercy on us. This is the and from the early morning till we hear the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavat Purana. This helps us clean our consciousness day by day. Day by day. This is the great facility offered by Srila Prabhupada and his predecessors. And this is demonstrated by Akura. He's performing his sadhana program just to set an example. Ordinarily he doesn't have to, but he does so to set a good example. And by doing so, we can actually clean our consciousness and become more Krishna consciousness. As His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj gave a seminar, seeing Lord Krishna. How do we see Lord Krishna? He was explaining, when we see the water, we should remind ourselves that the taste of water is Krishna. When we see the sun and moon, we should remind ourselves that it's Krishna's eyes. So forth. So the sadhana program is to bring about that kind of vision, you can say. This is the conclusion of all the Vedic knowledge. This is the conclusion of all Vedic understanding. It is explained in Bhagavad Gita, Yavanarta Udhapane Sarvata Sampluto Dake Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu Brahmana Savijanata. That all purposes served by a small well can be at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Like for example, there are some well. The well is used for certain purposes. Like one well is used only for drinking water. Another well is used only for washing clothes. Another well is used only for taking bath. But all such purposes can be served when we approach a great reservoir of water like a river and so forth. Similarly, in practitioners in Krishna consciousness, you know, generally speaking, a person has an idea that in order to be more civilized, one should take on the activity of non-violence, or one should take on the activity of being humble, or one should take, because being non-violent, being humble, being tolerant, you know, having the sacrificial, performing austerity, these are all aspects of knowledge. This is explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. But being non-violent without being Krishna consciousness is incomplete. Being humble without Krishna consciousness is incomplete. When we become Krishna conscious, then humility comes about in perfection. Non-violence comes in about in perfection. Even austerity comes about in perfection. Like for example, in ashram life, you know, we try to generally perform austerity. We try to perform sense control from abstaining from sense gratification. Ordinarily, we try to abstain from sense gratification without being Krishna conscious. It's very, very difficult. We have many examples of many religious system, so-called religious system, they don't believe in God, but they try to control themselves, abstain themselves from sense gratification. But they are not successful. But a brahmachari, a person in the ashram life, he tries to develop this sense control such a way, there's a reason for it, so that they can try to gratify Krishna's senses and try to please the spiritual master. Why perform austerity? The reason for performing austerity is only to please Lord Krishna. Similarly, being humble, we should understand that we are actually trying to be the servant of the servant of the devotees of Krishna. That is it. And do humble service. Not a show bottle, but you know, real demonstration. So the conclusion of all this transcendental quality can be met when one becomes Krishna conscious. This is explained in Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. Vedaishya sarve aham eva veda. The purpose of all knowledge is to actually attain Krishna. So if one wants to acquire the knowledge of being humble, it actually the perfection of it is met when one is Krishna conscious. In this, it's explained that all the good qualities of a demigod can come about when one is actually seriously Krishna conscious. One can actually attain all such good qualities just by simply being Krishna conscious. And another special privilege for being Krishna conscious is that when one gets that higher taste, when one gets the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, the other taste we see in this material world becomes tasteless. This example is actually exemplified by Maharaj Dino the king who Yamunacharya, or even Bilva Mangal Thakur is another example. But Yamunacharya mentioned a very, very nice, he actually quoted a very beautiful verse. He was a king. He had all the facility of material enjoyment. Anything one can get within this world. But nevertheless, when he took up to the process of Krishna consciousness, his realization was most transcendental, most far out, you can say, surprising, astonishing. This shows the real nature of a pure devotee. He said that whenever I think of enjoying with an opposite sex, whenever that thought comes in my mind, I feel like spitting. This is actually being situated in true real spiritual position. And this is the beauty of having Krishna as our worshipable Lord. By taking shelter of Krishna, one actually rids himself from all the inauspicious qualities. I remember just a few months ago, Achintarupa Maharaj was telling me, Achintarupa Maharaj was mentioning that Srila Prabhupada said, just by meditating on Lord Krishna's lotus feet, one's lusty desire is totally finished. This is the beauty just by meditating on Lord Krishna's lotus feet. So what to speak of his other transcendental parts of his body? So Krishna is so beautiful that if we really absorb our consciousness, just as a sponge absorbs all the water, so if we absorb that consciousness, sponge-like consciousness in Krishna consciousness, hearing Krishna Katha every day, day by day, and chanting his glories day by day, then all our inauspicious qualities within the heart disappears. And we have role models like Akura, Prahlad Maharaj, and his representatives like the spiritual masters and pure devotees, where they demonstrate to the public, and they even may correct us such a way where we can actually develop our true Krishna consciousness and be attracted to Krishna's beauty, who is known as Madan Mohan, or one who bewilders the Cupid. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhuji?
Can you explain, Mataji, you were telling that you were speaking, Mataji, Deva Goswami was telling how to see Krishna, you were just mentioning.
Pardon me?
How to see the beauty of Krishna. Was saying, was telling,
yes.
How we appreciate
it. How to see Krishna everywhere?
Yeah.
This is explained in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Like I explained already, like for example, when you see a man, he does something great, you should understand such ability is actually Krishna. If it wasn't Krishna's mercy to facilitate the person to have such an ability, to have such a talent, then how could he demonstrate such a talent? Like for example, the water, when you taste the water, you should remind ourselves that the taste is Krishna. And when we see an intelligence of a person, in particular Krishna says, I am the intelligence of and the steadfastness and memory of the Matijis. So if you see such quality, you should remind yourself that it is Krishna. Or when you see, like this, you can see Krishna everywhere. According to your consciousness, according to the practice you take on within this life, it has a great impact on the consciousness. When the consciousness is purified, when it becomes spiritualized, then we have a spiritual vision. Then that vision becomes Krishnaized. That was facilitated and shown and demonstrated by Prahlad Maharaj himself. When the father Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, where is your God? Is your God in this pillar? Prahlad Maharaj, without hesitation, he said, yes, my God is, my Lord Vishnu, he is in the pillar. With such firm faith. Because his consciousness was pure. The Lord appeared, not because to kill Hiranyakashipu. The Lord appeared to show that the vision of Prahlad Maharaj is actually 100%. So, as we mature up in Krishna consciousness, we can actually properly, without imitation, we will actually see Krishna everywhere accordingly. It's demonstrated by many, many great souls. And they are an example, they are an inspiration to show us that it is also possible, despite one's background. Like Prahlad Maharaj, he was born in a demon family. He wasn't born in a devotee family, and he was a princely order. So much material entanglement can come about, but still, he demonstrated that you can still be Krishna conscious. Despite one's condition, if one is serious, that is the criteria, if one is serious, one can actually be Krishna conscious.
Because of Narada.
Yeah, that is mercy of Narada Muni, obviously. So, if we seek the mercy of the devotees of Krishna, that's how we can get the mercy of Krishna. Any other comments or questions?